and we're shoveling. Soon to be snow right here on the growing season on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. I'm Matt, the producer, a.k.a. Matt McFarlane. Pleased to be joined, as always, by my father, Jack. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Christmas season officially underway. U.S. Thanksgiving has come and gone, which means in North America, we are full-blown Christmas season. All the dials are pinned to 11. The gates are wide open. It is now time to get some Christmas music involved. You're going to hear that on today's show.
Yeah, that's great.
And we have a busy, busy, busy one here. Absolutely busy. So we're going to start off with something called Christmas visitors. And that's actually a twofold little expression. The first is that plants or elements of horticulture that are available and mostly prominent during Christmas. Things right. like Christmas cactus, amaryllis, all these things. As well as my mom, Lynn McFarland, your wife of how many years?
44, going on 45.
Of a long time. Of 45 years-ish is going to be joining us. And we're going to tell a bit of a Christmas story that affected us
in
years ago. That is now part of the reason why we are here on the radio. That's the first thing. Second thing is we were invited down to the Canadian Tire Christmas House. A lot of people were like, well, wait a second. What does the growing season have to do with Christmas lights? Well, we're talking Christmas trees. We're talking adorning your outdoor plants with lights. We figured that it would be a wonderful thing to chat with, in my opinion, the leader of Christmas lights in Canada, NOMA.
Yes, fantastic.
Just so happens.
Where's that house located, Matthew?
Number 9, New Street, Toronto, in the Yorkville area. But the lovely people from Canadian Tire invited us down, thanks to Steph Porter, the media relations woman there. She is the most wonderful person. They had us down, and we chatted with their NOMA rep about, yes, NOMA Christmas lights, as well as all things decoration at Canadian Tire. All that and much, much more. Happy holidays coming up right here on the growing season on News Talk, Saga 960 AM.
This interruption to your regularly scheduled program has been brought to you by Drinks on Us on News Talk, Saga 960 AM.
Drinks on Us talks wine.
What's the toughest grape to grow?
Pinot Noir. It's a very small cluster, very tight cluster, very thin skin, so you really have to maintain it. It very much is.
There's also a lot of beer and a lot of spirits.
From what I've seen when it comes to the making of tequila, there's like, you got to cut the, you got machetes out there and there's like ovens and you're roasting the thing and it's all this, what the heck?
You just said it. Oh. That's exactly what it is.
Cool, it's been a pleasure, guys.
And there's a lot of Matt being Matt.
Yeah, there might be an orgy in my mouth happening right now. Like it's consensual.
Drinks on Us. Listen live. Sundays from 10 a.m. till noon on News Talk, Saga 960 a.m. Because we're happy to be the interruption to your regularly scheduled program.
Back off that commercial break. Got the peppermint mocha going. Did you happen to listen to the most recent or last week's Drinks on Us about Michelle Haken was talking about the making of peppermint mocha coffees at Starbucks?
No, I never heard that,
Matthew. She said it was pandemonium. Absolutely pandemonium. So the mocha's a powder, the peppermint's a syrup, and they mix it with coffee.
It's not too strong, like the peppermint taste?
Oh, it's so good. It's like drinking a hot mint chocolate candy.
No, I never even tried it. So maybe you have to try it. Give it to me sometime.
Yeah,
Matthew.
You know what? You don't do it. I'll get you a.
Make me one.
Yeah, I'll make you one. This is the growing season right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. We're back off commercial break, and we're talking about Christmas visitors. Now, this doesn't mean your family. This doesn't mean Uncle Eddie showing up.
Doesn't mean rodents.
But we're talking about horticultural items, plants, and such that show up and are predominant at Christmas. Now, we've talked about holly. We've talked about mistletoe in the past. We've talked about evergreen
poinsettias.
Trees.
Poinsettias.
Poinsettias. But we're talking about the other things. For instance, something like Christmas cactus, right?
Sure.
Now, this ties in wonderfully. You have a little deal or something for me, don't you?
I'll tell you what, Matthew. How's the dam count going right
well,
now?
Well, last I checked, it was 6 to 4.5.
Okay, I'll
so
make a deal with...
the field is narrow.
I'll make a deal with you.
But I think I'm buying you a tree.
No. I'll make a deal with you here.
All right.
Okay. We're going to be talking Christmas cactus, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll tell you what. If you can give me the Latin name for Christmas cactus,
okay.
I'll just wait. No dinner, no Fraser fir. What do you got there?
So you want me to give you the Latin name?
Give me the Latin name. You may have to put a Latin alert up.
I was just going to say, I got to throw up the Latin alert. Okay. So there it is. And you know what? Here's the thing. I actually know this one.
No.
I do. I know this one. This is one, and the reason why I know this was in and around the time when I was at Humber College. It was getting closer to Christmas. They would get you to learn some of these Christmas ones, things like amaryllis, things like Christmas cactus. Sorry, are you ready for this?
I'm waiting patiently.
Slumbergia truncata.
Whoa!
Yeah, there it is.
I just lost the Christmas tree. Whoa.
There's nothing saying that we can't go out for a dinner, right? I'll pay for the dinner, but I'm always about, you know me, I'm about competition. I love this. Yes. Slumbergia truncata. Christmas cactus.
I know, but you always make me cut back on the Latin names. It's kind of tough, Matthew.
Yeah, well, we don't have the Latin alert up for nothing.
Yes. Oh, I guess.
Yeah, for our listeners, if you're just dropping in, if this is the first time that you're listening to The Growing Season, the reason why these plants are always listed in Latin is that if you go to a different country, it doesn't matter what country you go to, you can order the plant. That plant will come to you if you know its Latin name. It's the universal language. But Dad, while we're on the topic of this Christmas cactus, these things are super, super cool. What is it about Christmas cactus that you find really interesting?
Well, I think where they come from mainly.
Where do they come from?
They come from Brazil, the coastal mountains of Brazil.
They're mountainous too.
They're mountainous. And the thing is, they don't really like it terribly hot. But what's nice about them is they have all these lovely flowers.
Yeah.
And in like mauves and pinks and reds.
You know what it looks like? You know Vladimir Guerrero Jr. plays for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Sure.
How he has the dreadlocks going, and the tips of the dreadlocks are highlighted like a different color.
Sure.
Christmas cactus looks like that. Yeah. It's green leaves or fronds, right? And then on the very, very tips, you've got different colors.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
It's like the Vladimir Guerrero of Christmas plants.
I wouldn't say that. But here's something, Matthew. It is a epiphyte. Oh. You know what that is?
Well, it's not even a, it's not a, it's not a typical average fight. It's an epic fight.
No.
Oh.
No. All right. It's a tropical cacti. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Because usually they're
cactus
arid,
are desert.
Right?
Yeah.
They're usually arid. But it's kind of cool.
Okay. Now, the other thing, too, is they call this a Christmas cactus. It doesn't even look like a Christmas cactus. Or, sorry. It doesn't even look like a cactus. There's no spines on this thing.
Nope.
It's a completely
perfectly smooth.
Yeah. It's cool. This is one that I have come to believe that is fairly user-friendly. Like, really, you can have these things around. They don't really take a whole lot of care, right? It's kind of a pretty user-friendly little plant, right? By the way, too, if you're sitting there in your vehicle or at the office, by the way, you shouldn't be doing this when you're in your vehicle, but if you're at the office or listening at home and you're like, what the heck does a Christmas cactus look like? We got you. It's pretty simple. GrowingSeasonCanada.com. Click on Show Bits. There will be a blog that goes right along with this show. In fact, in the podcast form, what I end up doing is I literally embed the show right in the little blog. So you can have the show going and you can look and see what the heck does a Christmas cactus look like, and it's sitting right there in front of you. Because this is an audio medium, it makes it tough to sometimes visualize what these things look like. What's up, Dad?
I think that you're missing a few really important points, Matthew.
Yeah, okay.
This thing does not need a lot of care, like you said.
No, it's pretty user-friendly.
And honestly, don't overwater it. You know, it doesn't particularly like the house too hot, but don't overwater. That's a big one.
Isn't that the same thing with this, with all tropicals? And you know what? I'm going to buzz myself. Okay, tropicals. A tropical plant is just a plant that is
growing in the tropics.
Thanks. But here in southern Ontario, or here in a climate where we get winter, a tropical plant would be a plant that stays inside all year.
Right. But don't, wait a minute, Matthew. You can take this thing out in the spring and put it in your garden.
The only problem with the out in the spring and putting it in your garden and then in hopes to bring it back is if you bring it back in next fall, you could be bringing in insects.
Yes, you could be bringing little pests in the house.
Aphids, mites, all this stuff.
Yeah, big names again, Matthew.
Well, in my opinion, if it's supposed to live inside, keep it inside.
One of the biggest problems, Matthew,
with this,
with the Christmas cactus.
You mean Schlumbergia truncata?
Yes, yeah, exactly that.
What is it?
Is that it can get bloom drop. You know what bloom drop is, Matthew? It's basically because the plant is experiencing stress. You never want a stressed out plant.
Is it like those fainting goats? You ever seen those goats where they get scared and they fall over?
No, no.
No, they do. They totally fall over.
But it's getting too much light. The temperature could be wrong or the soil's too dry.
Okay, so the best place for the Christmas cactus in your home is where?
In indirect light, not in full light. Not in full sun. It doesn't like it. It likes it. Even in your garden, if you did move it out, it likes it kind of shady.
And do you allow to dry out between waterings?
Or should No. Always keep it moist, but never too dry.
Right.
And you got to be watching the water because you can develop something called root rot.
Yes.
And nobody wants root rot.
No. Not good.
Not a good
Absolutely
thing.
Absolutely
no.
There's a cream for that.
Yeah, I know. But nobody wants that.
What happens with root rot, Dad?
Well, root rot, the plant will actually fall over right at the stem where it touches the ground.
And dead. You're done.
And it's done.
Wow.
There's no coming back
from that. Soil's got to be continually moist.
Moist.
Very interesting that if this is a mountainous plant, I'm wondering because wouldn't our mountains, is that soil typically fairly moist? You're getting fog and mist and everything up in those areas. I'm trying to figure out why it would need a continually moist soil. That's all.
Because it's experiencing that in Brazil. It's getting like the rainforests are generally a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So, yes. And even the moisture that builds up because of, remember we mentioned aerosol in the previous show.
Yeah.
So that idea. So the moisture is being even made by the trees themselves.
That's awesome.
So it's
the evergreens make that moisture.
It makes that moisture.
Cool. All right. Up next, amaryllis. While we're on this topic, Pops, you know where you can get amaryllis?
You can get amaryllis at Canadian Tire.
Canadian Tire. And we, in fact, as a prep for our next segment or for our final segment in today's show, we took a little wander over to Canadian Tire.
Absolutely fantastic.
Beautiful. Man, they got some, and we'll talk about it with the people from Canadian Tire and the people from NOMA. But man, I haven't bought Christmas lights in a number of years. Whoa, have they leveled up? There is some cool stuff. But the one thing that we noticed out in full bloom, or not full bloom, but out in full force, was the amaryllis.
Yeah, they were actually starting to produce the stem.
They were starting to produce the stem. This is a really, really cool one. You know, I don't think that people make enough note or mention of these things called amaryllis. Dad, what the heck is an amaryllis?
An amaryllis is basically a bulb that you, it's a large bulb.
But it's not, but it isn't a tuber.
No, it's not a tuber. Right. It is a bulb.
Difference between a bulb and a tuber, go.
Difference between a bulb and a tuber is a tuber has eyes.
Bulb is blind?
No, it has a little pointy thing, and it looks like a giant Hershey Kiss.
All right, easy. All right. Amaryllis, yes. So for me, this is interesting. It's a Christmas bulb.
I agree.
It isn't a spring bulb. It isn't a summer bulb. This is a Christmas bulb.
I agree, but where's it come from, Matthew?
Earth.
Yes, that's part of it, but where exactly does it come from?
South Africa.
And what's the zone, Matthew?
Okay, now hold up a second. We haven't touched on this in a couple of weeks, but so I'll get to it. 9 to 11.
Okay.
Zones 9 to 11.
Right.
In other words, it's got a good spread for zones.
Sure.
But the zone just means, is it capable of taking winter temperatures in this thing?
No.
Absolutely not.
At all. Well, they say it might make it in zone 8, but I don't think so.
But even then, right?
I don't think so.
No. So the colder the temperatures over the winter, the lower the zone number. So for instance, zone 1 is not good.
No.
Very, very, very cold. Right? But this is zone 9 to 11. You're getting into tropical stuff.
Sure.
Right?
Okay. So where do the blooms appear exactly, Matthew?
The blooms on the amaryllis, they appear on this. They have this cool green stem. It actually almost
very
looks
thin
fake.
Kind of thing.
It looks fake, doesn't it?
Sure. It looks phony.
But we saw them at Canadian Tire and it was like you had to take a bit of a step in and go, oh, really? Is it real?
And what color are they, Matthew?
Oh, lots. You can get the whites. You can get pinks. You can get reds.
You can get reds. I've never seen pink, but anyway.
I think I've seen a pink.
Possibly.
Okay.
Don't know.
All right.
And okay, so how many stems might this thing have?
One. Isn't it a single stem?
No, they can have two or three, depending on how large the bulb is and how long you've had it.
And the nice part with this is if you give this as a present at Christmas, this thing blooms for several weeks. The other thing to it is it isn't like giving a bouquet of flowers. This thing, once it's done, you cut the stem back down to the basically soil line.
Okay, but what don't you touch when you cut it back?
What do you mean?
When you cut the stem back, what do you have to be careful with?
Not cutting the leaves.
Why?
Because those leaves then begin to absorb sunlight and cause photosynthesis and basically feed the bulb below.
I wouldn't say it's doing all that, but I think mainly feeding the bulb, Matthew.
Yeah, like this thing isn't like a tulip bulb where you can store it. Once it's going, you have to keep it going. It's kind of like an orchid, right? Orchid blooms fall off, and then we keep repeating the cycle over and over again.
Well, you know what? Some people actually put them outside. I wouldn't bother because it's a lot of work because, you know, after frosts are finished in the spring, some people would transplant them outside.
Yeah.
But I really don't get into that. I let them do their thing, and then I discard them for the season. They've done their job.
Yeah, I would not recommend at all ever doing this inside outside thing. If it's supposed to be inside, keep it inside, because again, you're bringing insects. You've had customers that have had stuff decimated by aphids and mites.
Bringing them inside.
Yeah, it's not good, man.
So what does it symbolize, Matthew?
Strength and self-confidence, apparently.
Even pride.
Even pride.
Yeah.
Pride's the pride before good. The fall. You just hand them off an amaryllis.
Sure.
Right? Right. I love this flower. Now, our next one for me that I think is absolutely hilarious are clementines.
Wait a minute. One last thing.
Go.
They say that this is actually a rival to the poinsettia. Do you believe that, Matthew?
No, not a chance.
I don't think so either.
These things. The poinsettia is the poinsettia, man. That's the king daddy topper of all Christmas plants.
Yeah, I go into the store. Even at Canadian Tire, you walk in there.
Yeah, there are poinsettias right there.
Sure, and I don't see that many amaryllis.
Right. Clementines. My kids love clementines. Now, I'm not quite sure why these things show up when they do, because it's always around the Christmas season. But it's funny because my kids...
I think they're ready then.
It's probably what it is.
Simple as
whatever
that.
They're harvesting these things from. But my kids, it's great because...
I think they're out of Florida, aren't they?
Well, it would have to be someplace tropical.
Or California.
And, citrus-centric, right? So my kids love these things. The problem is we end up going grocery shopping and we buy these things for about like the month of December or even into November, right?
But they come in large quantities.
In big boxes. And my kids just absolutely gorge themselves on these things. Then close to around Christmas, they're like, I don't want to see another clementine ever freaking again.
So you know what happens, Matthew, when you eat too many oranges?
Is it the runs and barfing again?
It all happens again. Yes. So don't eat too many oranges.
No. Now, granted, it's supposed to be great for fighting off influenza and colds and such because you're dealing with a lot of vitamin C here, right? And it's a whole lot of natural sugar. It's just funny to me because we always seem to have a half a box left over. The kids are like, I don't want anything to do with it. Get it away from me. I have absolutely no interest in any of these things.
Well, they also have a lot of other vitamins, Matthew, and antioxidants, and they're supposed to help with heart disease and kidney stones. And here's a really...
You ever had a kidney stone?
Never had a kidney stone.
Me neither.
My brother has, brother Pat. But they say it combats free radicals. What the heck is a free radical?
So government, people that don't like the government?
I have no idea, Matthew, but they seem to think free radicals are something you don't want because it helps prevent
Nobody wants, if you're going to have a radical, contain them. You don't want them to be free.
That's right.
It's really, really.
And when it comes to oranges, they seem to have a lot of free radical.
Lastly, in this segment, Pops, I wanted to change up our regular way of doing things. I wanted to make sure that we gave our listenership and... The growing season has been going on full steam since basically the first week of September, somewhere in there.
Oh, on the hour version, yeah.
Yeah, on the hour version of the show. But I wanted to give our listenership a little bit of an indication that this has not only been a horticultural adventure on radio, but it's a bit of a comeback of sorts. And for me, Christmas was for many years fraught with feelings of both happiness and wonderment and joy. But there was also a lot of emotional trauma going on. And I thought this was a great opportunity to offer some thanks to our listenership for making the growing season into something that people are actively listening to, but give you a bit of a window into how we got here and why Christmas is a fairly important time of the year for the McFarlane family. We've also had more than two McFarlanes in the room at the same time. And in this case, we do have another McFarlane here, but she's a McFarlane by marriage. And she happens to be the reason that, or half the reason that I'm in existence. Lynn McFarlane, my mom, joins us. Mom, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, this has now become a family affair.
Yeah, I love it.
There's
great.
Could you guys have imagined even a year ago that you'd be on broadcast mics here in a radio studio?
Listen, I have a very active, wild imagination. And this is way beyond anything I could have imagined.
Yeah, I know.
I always loved hearing the story, Mom, about your dad, who always wanted to be involved in entertainment.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form. And here we are.
I know. My dad passed on in February of 2017. I'm a spiritual person, so I believe that my dad is watching us right now. Hi, Dad. And yes, I think he's very happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily, because I was born and raised Roman Catholic.
Right.
Dad, you come from a Roman Catholic background, went to Catholic school the whole way up, and the Lord above, if there is one, we don't really see eye to eye, him and me. or it and me. But I am a firm believer in the fact that the universe tends to make things align. Everything is set up. It's predetermined. So when I was younger, when I was in my, you know, even before the age of 10, I had talk radio on consistently every night, all night. And it was more of a comfort. And we're going to get into why that happened. And now here I find myself in 2019 on the radio with both my father, now my mother. Barry Davis got me involved in this on The Spin as well as Out of the Park. So it's just, for me, I am a firm believer in things happen for a reason. And speaking of the things happening for a reason, I wanted to take the opportunity to tell a little bit of a Christmas story and have our listeners get a window into why this season is as important to us as it is. Dad, Mom, who's starting here?
Let Mom start.
All right, Mom.
Okay, I think what you want to talk about is Christmas of 1989.
Yep.
Okay, Christmas 1989. Well, it started in July of 1989.
So for our listeners, Christmas did not start in July that year.
No Christmas trees in July. The story begins, though, in July of 89. Jack had to go into the hospital and have surgery on his arm. That is very detrimental to a landscape season.
Right.
It was a big pain on it anyways.
Yeah, it was a really big pain.
Makes it tough to shovel, huh?
We could have gotten over that. But then in September of 1989, Jack's older sister, who he was very close to, was killed in a car accident.
Yeah,
that was awful.
Yeah.
Then, shortly after Thanksgiving of 1989, a twister touched down in a freak storm in Caledon and took out the barn that contained our equipment.
Yeah, like Treetops Nursery. Yeah, it was bad.
So if there was ever any thought given to something is gunning for you, come on.
Everything was gunning for us.
Didn't the insurance adjuster that comes out, didn't the insurance adjuster say, you guys got to get a lottery ticket because I've never seen anything like this before in my life?
But we're not finished yet.
No.
Shortly after that, Jack's cousin, to whom he wasn't very close, she died of an aneurysm. And then winter came in early. That year, winter started and stayed from the mid-November on.
Yeah, it was really cold that year.
That's wild. Yeah. So many of our listeners have heard this story before told by me, but I thought it was important to get my mom on specifically about this. I remember, so I would have been 11, okay? Yeah. And at 11, my world is now crashing down around me. And for our listeners, we were about to basically have to sell my childhood home to break even.
Well, at least pay some bills.
Pay some bills. Mm-hmm. My dad lost his business, which is precisely why the growing season is important, because this is my dad's reemergence into horticulture. This is part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because it's a great way to set up the new year.
Yes, one of the large contractors that we Developers, had dealings yeah. with, a developer, conveniently forgot to pay his final invoice.
Yeah, $153,000, Matthew.
Yeah. That hurts. Yeah.
And so it bankrupted.
It didn't bankrupt us,
but it basically, it killed the business.
It did.
And your health was fading, Dad, enough that you didn't really have the strength to get this thing back up on its feet again.
Well, it's really hard to do, Matthew.
Right. So I remember in around that time turning to you, Mom, and I was 11, and I remember saying, Mom, and I mean, I was a fairly aware little kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, Mom, is everything going to be okay? And the thing that sticks out for me, I'm 41, so this is 30 years later, is I remember you said, I don't know. And that frightened me to my core, because whenever you say to Mommy and Daddy, whenever you say, is everything going to be okay? The common answer is fine. Your whole lower half can be on fire. And you're like, no, it's fine. It's just a little warm.
Yeah,
it's a little warm down here.
No.
Right? And I remember, Mom, you said, I don't know. And Dad's health's failing. Okay? And you and Dad decided that you guys had to go out and finish one last job. Winter came in early. You had to chip limestone screenings out of a patio and lay interlock.
From a driveway initially.
Right.
Yeah, the screenings were on the driveway and they had frozen because of the winter
coming in early.
So,
and you guys went out and did this to put Christmas presents under the tree.
To make a Christmas,
I don't honestly even remember, Matthew, what we got you that year for Christmas.
It doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
No.
It doesn't matter.
And that's where, I guess this is a wonderful opportunity to say thank you to you guys. I have a son and a daughter, and you don't really ever realize the lengths that you would go to make them okay. And now being 41 years old and thinking back and thinking about you guys having to go out and you're in financial ruin and the stress levels must have been pinned. Yeah. Those dials must have been at 11.
Super high.
And they only go to 10. And your thoughts are, we got to give our kids a Christmas here. So I'm going to pick up a pick. I'm going to chip limestone screenings out so I can finish a job to put presents under the tree for your children.
We also robbed your tree fort, too.
Yeah, we stole from there.
Yes. Okay, Dad, tell that.
Well, we were doing the job,
Matthew. By the way, I'll never forgive you for that.
I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm sorry. But we were about 20 square feet short. So you guys, through the summer, had decided that you were going to put a floor or a dungeon in your tree fort. So you had about 20 square feet of what we needed. So we went and took the 20 square feet from your tree fort, and we finished up the job, and then we got paid. And that was how, basically, we got presents under the tree for Christmas. So it was a tough one, Matthew.
Wow. Wow. That's...
The customer was very happy, and that was another thing that was really important to me.
So. Yeah, and thanks to Unilock for supplying the product.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because that was all Unilock stuff. Yes. And it's funny, I remember building that tree fort.
I remember the dungeon.
Yeah, it was really strange, actually.
I was a weird little kid.
No, it was good.
I don't know who you were putting in that dungeon, Matthew, but...
So there's a window into, let's say, what, 31 years ago? 30 years ago.
It was 30 years ago, exactly.
So the reason why the growing season is as important as it is to us, and it's important that listenership is what it is, because this has become a fairly popular show here on News Talk Saga 960 AM, is those events shaped me. Those events, I believe, shaped Erin, my sister.
Right.
And those events shaped you guys. And the fact that we're here on radio now, 31 years later, to me is a wonderful Christmas gift. And it's a wonderful way to celebrate the Christmas season, because when you're a kid, Christmas is a really cool thing. There's presents, it's trees, it's the happiest time of the year. Then I've made mention in previous shows where you get out, you get yourself a girlfriend or boyfriend, and then it becomes about, okay, celebrating with them and the presents for them and this and that. And then you get married and children. But I would have never imagined that a radio show would be something that would have, A, reignited my passion for horticulture, B, reignited my relationship with my father, right?
It's been great, Matthew.
It's been absolutely great. And so, Mom, you have a little analogy about...
Okay.
About a mineral.
Yeah, about a mineral. Okay. This one I don't take credit for, but I know I've thought of this quite often when we were going through all of this. I think of gold. Gold comes out of the ground either as a little speck of shiny stuff or as a rock. It's nothing much. And in order to become something wonderful, a beautiful piece of jewelry, a ring, whatever, it has to be tortured. It has to be first cleaned, and then it has to be melted in like a blast furnace type thing. It's tortured. And then it's poured into a mold where it's left to cool. And then when it's taken out of the mold, it is something beautiful. And that's what I think 1989 was for us.
Yeah.
I think there was a lesson we needed to learn. And I think it's made us beautiful, better.
But when that lesson. Lenny, what I think actually is, it's not how tall your tree is or how many presents you have under the tree. It's the family around it. And in the end, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
We had family together.
Yeah.
And that was what was the most important thing.
So 11 minutes and 38 seconds in. And I guess we could have done this segment way shorter, but from everybody here at the McFarland family, from everybody here at Growing Season HQ, to anybody that's taken the time to listen, to anybody that's taken the time to play a podcast, to download, to anyone that's taken the time to connect with us, I just wanted to say thank you. This is not just a radio show on our end. This is a way that has helped to reconnect a family. It has helped to put Jack McFarland back in his proper place in the operations of the universe, i.e. horticulture, I am consistently taken aback at the level of excitement and exuberance in the horticulture.
That's a big word, Matthew.
Yeah, yes. This show is brought to you by the people that own exuberance. I am continually taken aback by the people in the horticultural industry that are so excited that Jack McFarland is back in the industry that is horticulture. And a lot of that has to do with you, our listenership. So again, wanted to say thank you. Have a very, very Merry Christmas, a happy holidays. If you don't celebrate Christmas, please have a happy and safe holidays. And we'll see you in the new year. Spring is going to be big for the growing season. Right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Dad, you and I talk on the phone a lot now.
Yeah, too much.
No, come on. It's nice.
No, I miss sports, Matthew. We used to talk a lot more sports.
Listen, over the Christmas season, we're not talking business. Okay? Seriously.
I agree.
Because I can't, like, we gotta push the pause button on this stuff. For our listeners, growing season is going right through the winter. We're going to talk about tropicals. We're going to talk about, we got some cool stuff coming
terrariums.
Up. Terrariums. All kinds of that type of cool stuff. So we are not pushing pause on the show. And then, of course, as we get closer and closer to spring, things are going to ramp up.
Go like nuts.
Crazy. This next segment came during one of our little brainstorming phone calls. One of us said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to talk to Noma about Christmas lights? Because everybody wants to talk about how to decorate outside, how to decorate inside. And you had something that you want to talk about with regards to quote unquote living decorations as horticulturalists. What?
Well, I wanted to make sure that, you know, the trees and so forth that we were putting our lights on to like the, you know, the LEDs.
Yep.
Wasn't damaging the trees. And I understand there's not much heat off them because the old filament ones were actually kind of waking the trees up in the winter.
Right.
Especially the ones outside.
So I sent off an email to Canadian Tire and I worked through a bunch of their channels and I talked with Steph Porter, one of the representatives from Canadian Tire, and said, listen, I want to chat to one of your Noma reps. And she said, yeah, and we'd love you guys to also chat about some of the rest of the things that you're going to see at Canadian Tire that you can purchase for decorating your home for the holiday season. That escalated into, hey, why don't you guys come down to the Christmas house down in Toronto in the Yorkville area? And we went down there and we were stunned by what we saw. Here's our chat with the lovely people from Canadian Tire at their Christmas house right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Well, the tagline is essentially over 90 years, but doesn't look a year over 70 years. We are live right here in the Canadian Tire Christmas house. I said that right, Steph? The Canadian Tire Christmas house. This is 6,500 square feet, and you would never know it, of insane Christmas frivolity. The dials are turned way up. I have never seen anything like this. So the reason why we're here, originally, this was just supposed to be, I want to get somebody on from Noma to talk about Noma. And then we get this lovely email from Steph Porter, who has been nothing short of glorious all the way through. And she's like, well, why don't you come down to the Christmas house?
She didn't exactly say that.
A little bit. Okay. Close. But anyway,
second, yeah.
So now we're here. And I'm so glad that we came. First thing, we're joined by Crystal from Noma. You are the Noma rep, the Noma brand rep.
Yes.
First question for you. I was telling this to Steph off air is I haven't bought Christmas lights in approximately 10 years. And the last time that I bought Christmas lights was the straight up LED, kind of like inch and a half long. And that was when the LED first came out. So I hadn't looked at Christmas lights in about 10 years. There has been a giant... giant
monsters,
leap forward
monsters.
In Christmas lights. What's been going on?
Lots of innovation on Noma. So Noma has been around for almost 100 years. So started in 1925 and has been known for innovation throughout the years. So in the last decade, I'd say there's been a lot that's happened to help make decorating for the season a lot easier, a lot more exciting. We've basically got a style or a color for any taste.
So my number one sort of adventure when it came to this was I kept typing in, so I would go and do noma.ca and it would go boop over to Canadian Tire. I was like, okay, noma.com, and then I would say, oh, Canada, click over to Canadian Tire. So I didn't realize that is Canadian Tire the exclusive rep for Noma?
We are. So since 2014, Noma has been exclusively available at Canadian Tire, so a great partnership.
But it's a company out of the UK, if I'm to believe, Noma.
It's actually a separate company, so Canadian Tire owns the exclusive rights to Noma within Canada.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Dad?
Oh, my thing, I'm very curious. Okay, we're horticulturalists, so we want the trees to look right. They want, if an evergreen is supposed to be an evergreen, we want a fir to be a fir, or a spruce to be a spruce, or a pine to be a pine. So how the heck do you go around to make these things look real?
Well, that's been quite the journey we've been on for the last couple of years. We're always trying to push to more and more realistic-looking artificial trees to give everyone that classic Christmas feel. Last year, Noma and a partnership with our other brand, Canvas, came out with our MicroBright line of Christmas trees. The amazing thing with these Christmas trees is the majority of tips you're seeing are injected molded to look exactly like a true Christmas branch. And then the lights are imbued into the Christmas spruce needles to give that natural look and that natural glow without any LED bulb on the Christmas tree.
So there's a lab full of tree scientists? Is this what's happening?
There's a lab full of tree scientists.
That's amazing.
So who comes up with the designs for these trees? How do they figure out to make a spruce look like a spruce? Do you have horticulturalists, gardeners, or anybody, or is it just artists that come on board?
It's just our product development team, along with our brand management team and our team of buyers, coming together collaboratively to figure out what styles would mean the most for Canadians and trying to get a solution that's as close to that as possible.
Wow. And as far as the difference between, let's say, last year and this year, what's the big innovation as far as 2019?
Well, from a lights perspective, we've entered the smart market with our new voice command smart lights with Noma.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Endless possibilities in terms of colors and effects and combinations and light shows that you can create. So lots of fun for the family. But as we sit in this vintage room right now, very excited to bring back the look from the 1940s, 50s, and 60s with a really exciting line of vintage lights from Noma.
And what was the impetus? Because as I was saying coming in here, this feels like stepping into Stranger Things with the bulbs on the ceiling. And for our listeners right here on News Talk Saga 960 AM, I'm looking at a set of bulbs that literally look like they are spherical bulbs straight up out of the 1940s, 50s, 60s. What was the impetus? Why this? Why now?
Well, Noma did invent the bubble lights back in the 1940s. So it was an iconic light at the time and lots of nostalgia wrapped around that. At the same time, have definitely seen a trend in the market towards vintage, retro throwbacks and really a nostalgia push. So really wanted to create that warm and cozy feeling like you're at your grandma and grandpa's house reliving those moments.
And with Noma, having invented and having created so many of these fond memories, we really wanted to do a look back and bring about one of those Christmas lights from each of the decades so that customers who had grown up with them could relate to them, and for those who've never seen them, could discover something new.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's great.
So then, what has been the hottest seller? Because you just said from different decades. Is there a decade?
There is definitely a top seller specifically for the lights, and that's the bubble light. It's the most classic, iconic symbol of Christmases from yesteryear, and everyone is gravitating to it. I would not be surprised if we sold out of it by next week. Huge demand for that light.
That's fantastic.
I love this room. It's fantastic.
As far as hydro output, and Edward was talking a little bit about this, what's the savings? What's the difference versus so conventional incandescent versus whether it be LED, whether it be even like the smaller LED up to the larger? What's the difference in savings as far as cost?
So your typical rule when going from incandescent to LED in any type of program is that a customer would be seeing anywhere between 75 to 85% saving on their electrical bill.
That's fantastic. Wow. That's absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then with regards to decorations and such, because we've spent some time talking about the trees here, what's new and exciting with regards to decorations? I know every year it seems to be like new glass, more glass, less glass, whatever. There's some donuts. You have a tree up there that have like sprinkled out donuts on the tree. What's up and coming, or what's new for the season?
From a decoration standpoint, our biggest call out this year is our color of the year, which is mulberry. Mulberry is a beautiful purple mixture of pink that we've put onto decoration, tabletop, and different types of yard decor as well. That's our color of the season that we're most excited for, but also the heritage elements of heritage are also something we're seeing transform into indoor decor.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And with regards to outdoor stuff, what's new and exciting on the Noma train?
So definitely the voice command lights.
Indoor,
outdoor. Mm-hmm. I've already got mine set up outside of my house. I change it up every night just to find the right light show for the season. So that would definitely be the biggest innovation for this year. But we've also got some other new exciting products, like a new flex rope light that you can bend into the shape that you want. So you can put it around different interesting shapes.
We also have our neon program, which for those who love that neon Christmas glow, it's available in rope lights as well as lit signs that you could put on the indoors and outdoors. Lit signs like a snowflake, a Christmas tree, or even a reindeer done in rope neon. It's definitely one of my favorites.
It's a showstopper. They're so bright. There's no missing your house when
bright.
You can't
do that. We also have our cluster light program from Noma Advance. It's our smallest and brightest light in the market. Whether you put it into a tree, indoors or outdoors, it integrates seamlessly, and all you're really seeing is just these bright lights that are coming from those trees.
It's true. I found that, remember when Motorola introduced the Razr? Remember the Razr phone? Everybody had to have the Razr phone. And it was because it was small, right? Oh, sorry, I'm being interrupted. Proceed.
Okay, so as a horticulturalist again, I'm the avid gardener. I'm sorry. Okay, so what I like is that the LEDs, they don't really have heat, right? So you're not waking up all our trees or shrubs or our evergreens, and that is what interests me more than anything. The fact is that the new lighting doesn't affect our trees outside, and this is what I find more exciting than anything. I'm thinking, man, finally these trees can sleep for the winter instead of being woken up for a month at a time. Yeah. And even Matthew will agree with that. Yeah. The amount of, you know, the old lights, with the amount of damage, you don't realize that these trees are woken up. And then all of a sudden they start going downhill, and you wonder, why do your trees look like such garbage come the next year? And it's because you've been lighting them up for a month in the middle of winter. So that's how I relate to things. Okay.
I think you just found our new marketing campaign for this.
Thank you.
Keep your trees asleep.
make them stay asleep for the winter.
But it's a fact, and you know, most people don't even realize this. That when they're putting lights on their trees outside, this is what's happening. They're all asleep for the whole winter, and now you're waking them up.
Yeah. Now,
yes, sir.
Can I continue with
Motorola? Go for it.
And your comment does dovetail a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
So you never had a Motorola Razr, so you know.
I don't like razors. Okay.
No, this is a phone.
Look at you. What are you talking about?
All right, okay. Anyway, so when the Razr comes out, everybody wants it because it's small, right? And it feels like this is what's happening, right? Where we've now, granted, here I am staring at a bunch of spherical bubble lights. But for me, walking into a Canadian Tire, and we're from the Bolton area, so we went into your Bolton store and just gave it a quick look around. And the thing that blew my mind was the Noma Starry lights?
Yes.
These things, it's like the head of a pin.
It's just copper wire and the LEDs infused on to give, like you were saying, the smallest and brightest lights possible.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. Whether you're putting it for indoor decor or stringing it up on a tree or a banister, it, like the cluster lights, integrates seamlessly. And again, it's just this powerful LED that everyone can see.
And what's the lifespan on something like this? Like, if you buy it this year, how long do these things last before it needs to be replaced?
Well, Noma backs most of its outdoor LED products with a 5-year warranty.
Absolutely. Okay.
So we'll guarantee 5 years with that.
Yeah.
Through our Noma Advance program, the majority of our Christmas lights have a 10-year warranty on them.
Nice.
I got a question.
So, is it about horticulture?
No, it's not a horticulture question. Okay, so when one light goes out, let's say, is it a difficult thing to find out where the heck this light is, or does it put out half a string, or what does it do exactly?
I think they've moved beyond this, though, haven't they?
The great thing with the microbright technology, especially in the trees we're seeing in this room, is because that LED is so small and integrated into it, when one goes out, the rest stay on, and because that LED is integrated into the tree, you will literally never notice that it's off.
That's fantastic. Because years ago... Now, then again, you guys are also ruining the movie Christmas Vacation, right? Because, you know, when the one bulb goes out, then you got to go up on the roof and find the rest of them.
Don't worry. We still have those products.
Good. So you do still supply the...
Either way.
Awesome. And then with regards to element, weather elements outside, rain, snow, whatever, these things are all completely 100% snowproof, weatherproof, iceproof, safe, like the whole thing?
Yeah, so the light strings are all backed by a 5-year warranty, as I had mentioned. Yeah. And then our NOMA Advanced line, we actually have even different special technology with weather sealed sockets on those and offering a 10-year warranty on the NOMA Advanced Constellant line. So added bonus there.
Weather sealed sockets, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those lights will survive any winter storm, and we guarantee them for 10 Christmases.
Is there a NOMA testing facility where you guys have got trees set up and you're just hammering it with the worst weather possible, some sort of a vacuum tunnel, or where you guys, the trees, like, I don't think I can do this, man.
For all the viewers who want to imagine it that way, that's exactly what it is. I'm afraid the reality is probably a little more sterile and a little more unimaginative, but there is a huge testing facility where we put these trees and lights through absolutely everything to make sure that we're giving the best products to Canadians.
Awesome. We're with Ed and Crystal of Canadian Tire. Visit CanadianTire.com for all of your Christmas needs. Okay, question for you then. Why the house? Why? Because this seems like a fairly, like, you guys have turned the dials way up.
Well, it's like stepping back in time.
Yeah, but I love the fact that this is a very, like, you guys have said, okay, we are going to embrace Christmas. Let's go. Why this?
Well, I mean, Canadian Tire is Canada's Christmas store, so we really wanted to bring the magic of the season to life and be able to showcase the tremendous assortment that we have and being able to show you that there is really a look for every kind of decor option.
Mm-hmm. The application abilities, once you go into Canadian Tire and see what we have, it's just endless. And I think the average person can't even imagine all the different things they can do with the Christmas assortment at Canadian Tire. So this house is a great testament to just all the different styles you could hit, all the different tastes you could hit, and all the different wishes you could ever want could come alive at Canadian Tire through our Christmas program.
You know what I like, Matthew?
Horticulture.
Okay, horticulture again. I'm sorry. When we stepped into your store, we went to the Bolton store, and when we stepped in there, you had the Fraser firs at the front. Okay, so the aromatics got your attention. Okay, so then you walked in the store, and here's the poinsettias right in front of you, and they get your attention. And then right away, off to the one side, are all your artificial stuff, okay? And I thought, even as a gardener, I'm looking and I'm thinking, hey, I got to have a look, okay? So we went over and we had a look and we were amazed. So that was what we found out of it. And this, you've made some new fans, which I think that's the idea. So in the future, I possibly will look at maybe using the artificial stuff.
Yeah, amazing. And it was a great layout because you just walk in the... Mm-hmm. Like, you, like, walk in the store and the smell wallops you in the face.
Yeah.
So you're instantly like, okay,
this
is fantastic.
Did you intentionally put Fraser
Yeah, probably. I would probably.
Just for you.
Just for you. So now, with regards to smell, if you're dealing with an artificial tree, how do we get smell?
Well, we provide, I believe the product's called Sensicles, which is a number of different scents, whether you want the most traditional spruce smell or a cinnamony Christmas
cranberry.
The options in there as well are endless to get whatever your Christmas smell is into your Christmas tree and around that tree.
So then how do you, what is it? Is this just like an aerosol or is this
a little stick that you would just hang up in, like an ornament on the inside of your tree. It's green, so it blends seamlessly, and all you would notice is the smell.
And on top of that, you don't even have to water these things, right?
Yes, there's no watering necessary. Yes, yes, yes. And actually, it's funny. Okay, so you know what? While you're on that, just as we're getting towards the end here, I have an old Christmas tree stand that I've been using for years and years and years, and it's wonderful. But you guys have this. It looks like it's like a half shell looking thing with like there's claws and everything. Who came up with the idea? This is like the leveling up of the Christmas tree stand.
I'm not sure where the idea came from, but it's genius in terms of it takes the pain points out of kind of trying to screw it in correctly, get the right size. It just clamps around the base of the tree and it's solid. Like it will hold up your tree. So it's amazing. It tree up in less than 5 minutes. Like.
And does it self-level? Like, does it let you? Because I know for me, if I walk in the living room and that tree's not level, I'm going nuts.
You mean straight, right?
Plum. Right?
Okay, whatever.
Plum. Yeah, no, plum.
Okay, yes.
It's contracting words, right? Up and down, straight up and down.
Gotcha,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But so is it fairly easy to keep this thing plumb?
Yeah, once it's upright, it's not moving anywhere. So as long as you got your eye on it and you're happy with the position, you're good to go.
Once you've gotten it plumb.
Have you guys ever heard the word before?
Never.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm not making it up, man. It's legit. It's plum. It's plum.
It's not fruit in the end.
Right? It's not fruit. No. Okay. No. Awesome. So if there was one thing that you guys could suggest people putting in their homes that they haven't seen before, Christmas decoration wise, what would it be?
Oh, that's a hard one.
It is. There's so many great ones out there.
But you get to pick one.
You know what? I am a real fan of the neon rope lights. My house just glows with these things. And every kid that walks by loves the snowflakes in the windows.
Now, have they had to reroute aircraft traffic?
My neighbor has asked that I turn them off by a certain time in the evening, which is fair because she's a doctor, so I'll allow her sleep. Yeah. But the kids love it. Yeah.
And for myself, it'll, of course, be the Voice Command smart lights. It's the first Christmas light that's outdoor and indoor and integrates with both Google and Alexa. I believe there's 850,000 color options with the program, with that single light. So it is, the options are literally endless with it. So that would be my pick, because you pick that one and every day you can change it.
So you're all about efficiency.
Efficiency, right? And choice.
Wonderful. That's awesome. Guys, this has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
We're going to take another bit of a wander around here, but you guys have been absolutely glorious. We just wanted to allow our listeners to hear, because, again, like, you get the Canadian Tire catalog, but I'd love to have some audio and some people that are actually in the know of what this stuff does. Yes.
I have one more thing. Okay. Again, guess where I'm going? Horticulture.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. I understand that the artificial have their purposes, okay? Like, people who have allergies. I actually have a brother-in-law who's got allergies to evergreens of any kind.
Apartments,
condos. So I can see that route. So in the end, I think you've definitely changed my mind somewhat.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, so it's thank awesome. You very much.
I'm glad to hear
thank
it.
Thank you.
No, it was great.
Guys, you're wonderful. This has been the Growing Season right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. All right, Dad. Hop in the pickup truck. In this case, hop on the subway. That was a fantastic, man.
A lot of information again.
Yeah, but the Christmas house. Do you believe that?
No, it's absolutely fantastic.
Nuts.
What, hundreds of thousands of lights, yeah, or something, right?
Yeah, and I would love to see the hydro bill to have that sucker going on.
Actually, I understand.
Probably not much.
I heard the LEDs not too much.
Yeah, and the heat, we didn't notice any discernible. There wasn't, with the number of lights in that place, there wasn't a discernible, like, whoa, it's hot in here, right? But just kudos to the people from Canadian Tire for setting something like this up, because this is a really wonderful idea in that you get to see all of these lights set up properly by the techs, by the people that design these things, and have them set up in a situation that really highlights their wonder. I couldn't believe, and you heard me say it in our chat, the starry lights, the little Noma star, like the little mini LEDs, I am in love. Yes. In love with these things. I absolutely, absolutely love them. What was the standout thing for you when it came to the Canadian Tire House?
I have to say that the artificial trees, okay, yeah, we always push the live ones.
Yep, agreed.
But don't fool the horticulturalists, okay? That's us guys.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I have some of those spruces, some of the pines,
the
some
first,
of the firs. We're so realistic. Yeah. That, you know, I might in the future, when I get a little bit older, might rethink everything.
Yeah, and the artificial trees are great for, you know, if you're dealing with an apartment situation, if you're dealing with allergies, if it's an older person that doesn't want to take the time or doesn't have the energy to be hauling a live tree in, the artificials are great. I hadn't bought Christmas decorations in gotta be 10 years when we moved into, when Kelly, my wife, and I moved into our home, and the amount of jump that has come as far as technology in the last 10 years. We went into the Canadian Tire store near us and our eyes bugged out of our head. I can't believe the amount of innovation. Crazy.
And you know what? I also like all the live stuff.
Yeah.
So all the poinsettias, the amaryllis, and even the you know, the little centerpieces for your table and the outdoor items that you can use for, yeah, display. Yeah. Fantastic. I've
absolutely
never seen anything like
it. It's so wonderful. Many, many thanks to everybody at Canadian Tire and Noma for allowing us to come down to the Christmas house. Many thanks to my father for, again, all the continued information with regards to the horticultural Christmas visitors. Thanks to News Talk Saga 960 AM for continuing to let us broadcast this horticultural hilarity. Right, Pops?
It was good stuff, Matthew.
Absolutely.
Pleasure to work with you.
That's great, man. So, up next week, we're going to continue on our Christmas season theme. This is the growing season right here on News Talk Slog at 960 AM. I'm Matt. Dad?
Happy holidays, everyone. And this is Jack out.